Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. A day after Soviet leader Gorbachev announced a 14% cut in defense spending, his foreign minister went before the closing session of the European Security Conference with another surprise. Barry Peterson reports from Moscow.
It's just what President-elect George Bush doesn't want, a Soviet initiative at a moment when the incoming American president wants a few months to study the issues. In this case, Soviet Foreign Minister Shevardnadze saying in Vienna that Soviet troops being withdrawn from Eastern Europe will take their tactical nuclear weapons home with them. The decision to withdraw 50,000 Soviet troops from Warsaw-packed countries was announced by Mikhail Gorbachev during his UN speech last December, but Gorbachev made no mention of nuclear weapons. NATO has resisted separate talks on tactical nuclear weapons, preferring instead to discuss the whole issue of troop strength and conventional war in Europe. Still, today's Soviet announcement is likely to win high marks with America's European allies. Today's proposal may be aimed at forcing the Bush administration to respond quickly to Soviet offers, even before that administration gets its feet on the ground. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Moscow.
President-elect Bush and his wife Barbara were out late last night dropping in on three pre-inaugural dinners. At the Corcoran Gallery, Mr. Bush said people are wondering if he's nervous about taking over as president.
They asked, how does it feel? What's it really feel like? And it's so hard to describe. It's really just beginning to set in.
This is Rob Armstrong in Washington. The process of installing a president of the United States has come a long way since George Washington took the oath of office in New York City on April 30th, 1789. What was a brief ceremony and a speech 200 years ago is a three-day gala now. It started last evening at the Lincoln Memorial with a familiar theme.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the ambition of my presidency to make these 1,000 points of light shine brighter than ever before. And where today there is darkness, let us work together to bring light to shine on all of God's children.
And as if to underscore his theme, the sky was emblazoned with fireworks and music filled the twilight air. Today there are a series of receptions and pageants. Tonight, the inaugural gala will feature a cast including Frank Sinatra, Loretta Lynn, and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Washington.
Vice President-elect Dan Quayle, who tomorrow becomes a heartbeat away from the presidency, told CBS News this morning he's come to terms with the campaign criticism of his qualifications.
I don't wish that experience on anybody else, but I'll tell you what, I'm a stronger person because of the experience that I went through. Baptism by fire breeds character. And believe me, because of that campaign, I've got a lot of character. But now we're prepared to assume the office of vice presidency. We're prepared to go on the offense.
At least four people suffered minor injuries in a moderate earthquake that rocked the Los Angeles area last night, knocking out power to 100,000 homes and causing thousands of dollars in damage at a Malibu market. The quake, which measured 5 on the Richter scale, was centered in Santa Monica Bay, 30 miles southwest of downtown L.A., and was followed by dozens of aftershocks. Even blasé quake veterans were impressed.
It was reminiscent of being in I would imagine what it was like to be in an old-style wooden ship during a storm.
Things were flying here.
My heart's still beating. This was a big one. The quake itself was the worst one we've ever felt.
One of the injuries attributed to the quake was a woman who broke her foot when she jumped out of bed. Miami, the Super Bowl city, is trying to return to normal. Bill Whitaker reports.
An uneasy calm prevailed on the streets of Miami last night after two nights of angry rioting in some of Miami's black communities. Last night, there were only scattered reports of violence and arson. Police reported fewer than 100 arrests, one-third the number arrested Tuesday. The Justice Department, the FBI, and the city of Miami are all investigating the police shooting of a black man that sparked this most recent round of Miami riots. But Miami Mayor Xavier Suarez says the city must do more.
To really, really figure out ways to shape up the relations between the police department and Miami's community, generally, specifically the black community.
City officials are hoping the calm continues and that Miami can get back to normal. Last night, downtown offices were illuminated with giant Super Bowl pictures, the image this city would like to project. But that image has been all but overshadowed by the angry fires and tempers still smoldering in Miami's black neighborhoods. Bill Whitaker, CBS News, Miami.
A former co-worker of the Stockton, California schoolyard killer says he hated Vietnamese immigrants and believed they were stealing jobs from native-born Americans. And as newsman Larry Barleen reports, the gunman apparently planned to kill many more than five children of Southeast Asian heritage.
Patrick Purdy may have intended more carnage than he caused Tuesday when he gunned down those Cleveland Elementary School children in Stockton. Sources say the car he drove to the scene had been rigged to explode. A search of the car revealed a pipe bomb lodged between the seats. The bomb had been covered by gasoline-soaked blankets and had been designed so that if the bomb had exploded, it would have spread shrapnel in the vicinity. If firemen tried to put out those flames, one or more could have been injured. Luckily, sources say Purdy did not have the skill needed to create his booby trap. Larry Barleen for CBS News, Stockton.
A federal judge holds a hearing in New York today to decide whether former Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos is well enough to be arraigned in New York or Honolulu. His lawyers say he's dying. There's been a third U.S. PLO meeting, the U.S. Embassy in Tunisia, today confirming that Ambassador Robert Pelletreau met Tuesday with Hakam Balawi. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange has confirmed its traders have come under federal investigation. The Chicago Tribune is reporting today that at the Merck and the Chicago Board of Trade, FBI agents posing as commodity traders have obtained evidence of widespread fraud involving millions of dollars. The investigation reportedly is focused on up to 100 brokers, floor traders, and commodity executives who are suspected of cheating their customers of millions of dollars in the execution of buy and sell orders. Consumer prices rose 0.3% last month, bringing the 1988 inflation rate to 4.4%, the same as 1987. Martin Morrow is an economist at Merrill Lynch.
4.4% inflation means that prices double every 15 years or so, and that is probably higher inflation than many people would feel comfortable with.
Housing construction fell 2.2% in December, ending 1988 on a flat note after three consecutive monthly increases. With 1.5 million housing units, it was the worst year for the housing industry since the recession year of 1982. The dollar and gold prices are steady overseas. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is unchanged. It stands at 2238.78. Big Board volume, 28,550,000 shares. We said the dollar is steady, that in spite of a move by the central bank in Germany today to hike its discount rate by 0.5%. Dollar and gold prices steady. Time on the World News Roundup coming up now on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.